Turning tonight, please, in the Word of God to the New Testament and to the book of Luke, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. Thank Mr. Greer for his words of welcome. And we do trust that you who are visiting with us tonight, you'll feel at home among us. Thank you for coming. Do return. And also to our webcast viewers again, we're glad to have you joining with us. Luke chapter 23. Let's begin to read at verse number 39. Luke chapter 23, and reading together, please, from verse number 39. Let us hear the word of God. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned, and all his acquaintance, and the woman that followed him from Galilee, stood afar off, beholding these things." Amen. We'll end our reading there. We know God will bless the public reading of his word. It is those words in verse number 46 that I want to look at tonight. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." With that verse before us, let us just bow our heads. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. And all in the meeting who know and love the Savior, let us pray together here. Let us pray now. Let's seek the face of God. Let's consciously ask the Lord to come, the Holy Ghost to work. Let us pray to this end. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the stillness and quietness of this meeting house, we approach unto thy throne in Jesus' name and by his blood. And how we thank thee for the Savior of sinners. How we thank thee for the Lord of glory. How we thank thee for the one that, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And, O God, we thank thee tonight for the Word of God. We thank thee for the Scriptures of truth. We thank thee for what they teach us of Jesus Christ. And, O God, we pray tonight that as we come to this portion, that, Lord, thou would draw near to us. As we come, Lord, to bring the word that we believe thou hast given for this meeting, we cry, O God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that thou would remember us tonight upon the throne. We're fully aware of the works of darkness. We're fully aware of how they seek to hinder and seek to keep the sinner from the Savior. And, O God, we just pray now for a paralyzing of hell. We pray against the devil. We stand now by faith into the victory of the cross. And we pray, O God, that over this meeting, the blood of the Lamb will prevail. Lord, close us in. Purge the atmosphere, we pray. Descend in great power. Save the lost. Deliver the captive. O God, come and save tonight, we pray. And I confess, before heaven's eternal throne, and before this gathered congregation, my great inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. And fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, I need the anointing. I have need to be baptized of thee. Grant it, O God, to this frail creature, we pray. And glorify your Son in so doing. Hear our prayer, which we offer now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There certainly are great truths to be learned by the final words that people say in this side of eternity. It is an interesting study when you open the Scriptures and you begin to look at the final words that people have said. Jacob, just before he died, the Bible tells us he was to be gathered onto his people. He was to be gathered onto the saints as he spoke of where he was to be buried. Moses, final words in that great sermon found in Deuteronomy 33, verse 29, he reminds Israel of the blessed thing it is to be saved by the Lord. He said to them, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord." The final words of Ezekiel in his book there in the Old Testament, "The Lord is here, Jehovah Shammah." That was his final words. The final words of Samson, "Let me die with the Philistines." As he bowed his head and God anointed him again, and he pulled that temple down against the enemies of the gospel. Simeon's final words, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace," as he held the Savior in his arms. That very statement prompted the Reverend Andrew Bonner to say this, "Give me Simeon's dismissal, Christ in my arms." That's what Simeon said. Stephen said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge," as he died the martyr's death. Or nearer to this day, we go into church history and we look there at Hugh Latimer as he went to the stake and he said to his friend, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I think shall never be put out." Of course, there was the infamous Voltaire and his final words. "There is a God, there is a hell, and I am damned forever." That was his final words. But it is the final words of Jesus Christ that I want to bring before this congregation tonight in the moments that remain. Those words there in verse 46 of the chapter we've read, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." I want to speak tonight on a sermon I've entitled, "Going into the Father's Hands." Going into the Father's hands. There's a setting in these words that's clear. Christ's work is almost complete. In a few moments, the soul of the Savior will be in the glory with the Father. His 33 years on earth are drawing to a close. The law has been fulfilled in its every jot and tittle. The unjust trial of the Savior has taken place. Christ is on his cross. Christ is on his deathbed. And it was a cross. From that deathbed, in this very portion, the Savior speaks words of pardon to the lifelong sinner, the thief. In a few moments on from this statement, a Roman centurion, the complete opposite of what the thief was in life, and yet a sinner nonetheless, he too comes to faith in Jesus Christ. It's the cross, the defining moment in world history. This is the greatest step. When God incarnate stepped into death to redeem rebellious man, Satan's head being crushed, redemption accomplished. And after crying, "It is finished," Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." That's the setting. But there's also, obviously, the Savior's here. Christ's here in the person of saving his people from their sins. That's what he's doing. He's dying as the Savior. He's dying in the glory of his person. He's dying as the second Adam. He's dying as the representative of sinners. Oh, sinner, see this scene. See this scene. Look upon it. The Savior, what he does here. Yes, he does it to the Father. But he does it for sinners. He doesn't do it on behalf of supernatural angels that Jude tells us kept not their first estate. What he does here, he does on behalf of sinners. He does it here on behalf of the drunkard.
He dies here on behalf of the immoral. He dies here on behalf of the self-righteous, the liar, the blasphemer. He's here on behalf of the Sabbath breaker. He's here on behalf of the thief. He's here on behalf of the idolater. He's here on behalf of those that don't honor their parents. He's here on behalf of the adulterer. He's here on behalf of the covetous. He's here on behalf of the murderer. He's here on behalf of the sinner. Sinner, he's here on behalf of people like you and me. That's who he represents here. That's why he's there. He's there as a Savior. There's a setting. There's a Savior here. There's something else, dear people, I want you to see. There's satisfaction revealed here. Who is the one that dies here? It's the God-man. As God, he's satisfied. As man, he suffered. You see, dear people, understand this. When Christ said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, those words speak of satisfaction given. They speak of a law that had been honored. They declare that to us. And dear unsaved friend, I want you to understand this tonight. You and I have transgressed that law of God time without number. Broken it time without number, rebelled against it, despised its demands. Our hearts have hated it. Our hearts have broken it. Understand that. When Christ said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit, he was declaring he had kept it. He had kept it. He had given that perfect obedience. Oh, sinner friend, see this. There was one that kept the law. You who read Robert Murray McShane, in that reading plan, you read this week as I did. I feasted on these words for a full day. The words of John chapter 1 verse 33. Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him. There was nothing in Christ that would ever have grieved the Holy Ghost. The Spirit remained on him. And sinner friend, there's the great evidence. There was one who obeyed that law. You have broken time without number. There was one that gave that obedience that you have never given. And you can't give. What a declaration. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It was a revelation the law was honored. It was also a revelation that in dying Christ had satisfied divine justice. The work was done. Christ was going to the Father. That the ransom to save rebellious man had been paid. A holy, sinless, perfect life had been offered. And Christ was declaring the sacrifice was accepted. And sinner, I want you to understand this tonight. There's your hope for eternity. And let me tell you, you need a hope for eternity. You need a hope that's sure and steadfast. You need a hope for eternity that's not going to fail you. There it is. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It revealed a perfect life and an atoning death, and it revealed that God accepted the sacrifice as a payment for sin. Sinner, that's what you need tonight. That's what you desperately need. But I tell you this, there's also security here. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Here we see the Son commend his soul to the Father. As Christ's about to die, he commends or gives over the soul to the Father. That's the sense of the word. It reveals trust. As Christ enters into death, he gives his soul over to the Father's hands to receive. But they're full of teaching for us. Because Christ is teaching here, the soul of the believer goes into the hands of the Father. Into those secure hands. The Bible speaks of the Father's hands. John 10, speaking of the redeemed of the Lord, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then he said this, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. What security there? Oh, in these words, my friends, say it. There's a Savior. There's satisfaction to God. But there's security. There's security for the sinner. Security for all who trust Christ. And what the Lord's telling you tonight, dear friend, in this meeting, all who die in the Savior go into the hands of the Father. But, some of you aren't on your way into the Father's hands. You're not in this security. You're not held by that omnipotent hand. You're not surrounded by the blood of atonement. And we're deaf to come tonight. You're not going into the Father's hand because, quite simply, He's not your Father. He's not your Father. Oh yes, the dying of the saint that's going home to the Father, into the hands of the Father, into the same hands as Christ committed his soul. Think of the words of Christ to Mary Magdalene. I ascend unto my God and your God, my Father and your Father. Dear believer in this meeting, your God is Christ's God. Your Father is Christ's Father. But it is not so for us all. It is not so for us all in this meeting. Because only the Father's children go into the Father's hands at death. I mentioned Hugh Latimer. He faced the flames of martyrdom. Let me tell you of another martyr. This text comforted him. And this truth strengthened him. As he was tied to the stake. And the flame was lit. And the fire went round his body. And the declaration was made by the only people that gathered to watch him, the Roman hierarchy. And they told, and of course I'm speaking of John Huss. They said to John Huss, we condemn your body to the flames. And we condemn your soul to hell as a heretic. John Huss said this as his flesh dripped from his body and he looked his accusers in the face and he said, yes, you condemn and you commit my body to the flames, but I commit my soul into the hands of my God and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's how he died. He went into the Father's hands. His soul went into the Father's hands. But dear sinner friend in this meeting, though there is great comfort here for the child of God, and there is, Christ here is showing direction upward toward heaven. But here we are in this meeting, Sunday night, 15th of December, 2013. Death approaching us all. And some in this meeting as yet cannot say, I'm going into my Father's hands. Because you're not. Black and white, you're not. You're not on your way to heaven. You're not one of his children. Oh, dear sinner friend, I want you to begin to consider this tonight. Young people, older people, you're never going to be in the Father's hands while you hold your sin. I tell you that now. Let's just get it clear. You hold that sin, the Father will never hold you. Never. You hold that sin. And you die holding that sin, you die without a Father in heaven. Let's just get it clear. you're not going into the Father's hands. The incarnation of Jesus Christ, we sang about it in that great hymn, was that sinners might go to the Father's hand. Was that sinners might have a Father in heaven. Because listen to me right now, from the youngest to the oldest, there wasn't one born in this meeting that had a Father in heaven at birth. Not one of us. Not one of us. We were born cut off from that Father. But the blood of Christ brought us to Him. Dear unsaved in this meeting, let's just put it in black and white. You never let go of that sin. The Father will never hold you. Never. You never let go of that sin. The Father's not receiving you as a child when you die. Let's get it clear. To go into the Father's hands, we get rid of that which grieves the Father. And since none of us know that moment when that call comes for any of us, sinner in this meeting, the time to let go of the sin is now. You ever want to be in the Father's hands? You ever want to be received by a Father in heaven? You let go of that which stops it. You're not going into His hands. You are not going into a Father's hands holding that sin. Let's get it clear. The sin has to go. The Father's hands. What a warning here. You see, sinner friend, God's hands are referred to over in the book of Hebrews 10:31. Let me just tell you what it says. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I want you to understand what it says there. It does not mention the word Father. Fall into the hands of the living God. There's nothing fearful for the believer. Going into the Father's hands. Nothing. It speaks of security. It speaks of comfort. It speaks of heaven. That's what it speaks of. But Paul said in Hebrews 10:31, it's a fearful thing, and the word means terrible. A terrible thing to fall. And you don't need to be a genius to work out that there's also direction here. Falling never means going up. Falling means spiraling downward. It's the hopelessness of the situation. It's the hopelessness of those that never let go of their sin in time. Oh yes, they went into the hands of God all right. But He wasn't their Father. They went into the hands of the one that hated the rebellion. And hated their Christ rejection. And Paul says, under inspiration, led by the Holy Ghost of God, it is a terrible thing to fall into God's hands that way. With no blood having washed ye, with never having had a Savior. And the Holy Ghost, my unsaved friend, tells you tonight that will be a terrible moment for you. You go into those hands that way, friend. There's nothing of the bliss we have looked at. There's no security. Nothing but you and God and your sin, because you held it. And you couldn't let it go. And now God lets you go. Depart. Paul said something else. Because of the terrors of God, we persuade men. Sinner, we're gazing on a cross tonight. I'm showing you as best I can the way into the Father's hands. You miss Christ and His cross. You die without a Father in heaven. And the Holy Ghost is telling you that is a fearful, terrible thing to happen. And the solemnity of the facts are this, and I would be untrue to God were I not to say it. There's young people and older people in this meeting, and maybe some watching on in the webcam, and you're a breath from this terrible moment. A breath from it. Forget about the preacher. The Holy Ghost of God is telling you, everyone tonight, out of Christ, it's a terrible, fearful thing to go into God's hands like that. And you don't want to do it. Glass my mind or my eye across this auditorium. Nobody wants to be doing this. God Almighty puts it in black and white. It's terrible and it's fearful to meet God like that. To get into the hands without Christ. To get into the hands of God without a paternal relationship with Him. And that same omnipotent hand that's the security of the saints, the terror of the sinner. Yeah, you better believe it. That hand that'll comfort the one beside you in the pew. It'll be the terror of your soul for all eternity. Same hand that receives in love and mercy and pardoning grace, the sinner that repents, that same hand casts away the Christ rejecter. Sinner, don't go into the hand of God without Christ. The Holy Ghost is telling you, don't fall in that downward spiral. It all just speaks of hopelessness. Friend, and I call you friend because we are friends on earth. Friends in the congregation. But I tell you, you die out of Christ, the friendship ends forever. God will accept the believer. Love and comfort and accept them in Christ and welcome them home. But sinner friend, it's not so for you. Why do we have prayer meetings? Why do we have an open air at the bandstand? Why do we have one service out of two, particularly for the sinner? Sometimes more. Why do we have missions? Why do we do it? Because it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why does your name, sinner friend, reverberate around that hall on a Tuesday night? Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's just get it black and white tonight. You don't want to go there. You don't want to die like that. Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Sinner, listen, there's salvation here.
We're looking upon the very scene. We're looking upon the very finished work. We're looking upon the very blood shedding. You remember this, the setting here. Christ has just saved a thief. That's what he's done. Moments before he uttered those words. And then he declared to that thief where he's about to go, into the Father's hands, because Christ died first. And that thief followed his Savior into the Father's hands, because Christ's Father was that thief's Father by redemption, by the blood, by the work of the cross. Now, sinner friend, it's time for you to consider your soul and your meeting with God and your eternity. And what I'm saying to you is this: if you want to go into the Father's hands, you've got to go into the Father's hands the way Christ went into it, via the cross. You've got to get there. You've got to take the words of the thief and that confession of your sin, and then lift your heart as he did, "Lord, remember me." Because that statement of Jesus Christ, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," guarantees every sinner tonight in this meeting, you leave your sin, you're pardoned. You turn from it, you're forgiven. The justice of God is satisfied. The law has been honored. We can take it all out of this statement. All you need is done by Christ, but you have got to avail yourself of it. And you need to come to Christ. You need to repent and you need to believe the gospel. Don't go into God's hand and Him not your Father. Cast yourself now by faith as a penitent before Him. Repent of that sin, turn from it. Maybe I speak to one in this meeting right now, and you know you're a sinner, as we all do. And you're saying, maybe for the first time, God's not your Father. He's your Creator, but He's not your Father. And at this moment in your life, the danger has suddenly dawned upon your soul that you're in your sin, that you're unforgiven, that you have no Father in heaven, and the Holy Ghost telling you again it's a terrible, fearful thing you're on the verge of. You're on the verge of going into the hands of an angry God. An anger that has never been appeased towards you. Is there one in this meeting as we continue? And you know that's you. You know that's you. Maybe just like the thief here, the two thieves, one saved, the other not, and maybe you know a companion saved, a friend saved and you're not, a family member saved and you're not, one member with a Father in heaven, the other member not. Sad scene. Because of the terrors of God, we persuade men. We try to tell you of Christ, because Christ says, "Tell them of me."
Go into all the world and preach this gospel. Whosoever believeth will be saved. Sinner, will you come tonight? Will you come to Christ? As we look at this text in these final moments, will you take the step tonight? It's black and white here, friend. Many dear people across this congregation are on their way into the Father's hands. Some are not. Let me tell you of a verse. Don't even turn to it. Just sit there. Let me tell you of what it says of the Lord in Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like unto thee, listen, that pardoneth iniquity, and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. Sinner, I say this reverently. A sinner in this meeting that comes to Jesus Christ tonight, God will delight to show you mercy. God will delight to pardon you. God will delight to forgive you. You let go of that sin. You turn from it. He'll save you tonight. And you begin a journey into the Father's hands. Sinner, will you come to Him tonight? Christ delights to save, and He delights to save sinners. And it'll delight Christ to save in this meeting. What a thing. What a statement. God delights in mercy. Pleased to save the rebel. Pleased to save us partners in crime. You know what that term means? It means they're guilty of the same crime. We are all partners in this awful crime of sin against God. But Christ delights to save the penitent. He delighteth in mercy. Now, sinner, will you come to Him? And from this moment on, be able to say, Father, there's a day I'm coming home. See, my friend, Christ died that you and I might go safely through death into the Father's hands. But my friend, you've got to come to Him. It's heaven or it's hell. It's saved or it's lost. Two thieves, let me tell you. One went into the Father's hands. One experienced what a fearful thing it was to fall into the hands of God. What's it going to be for you? What's it going to be, sinner, my friend? What's it going to be? Will we meet at the Savior's side? Will we go this way? Angels watch on. They do. Devils are here. Every thought in your mind right now to put this off is the devil. God is here. By the Holy Ghost, He's here. bringing these truths before you. You're either going to go into the Father's hand through Christ, or you're going to fall into the hands of an angry God. What's it going to be? That's what the Lord's saying. You're responsible to make that decision. Christ says, in love to the sinner that repents, come now. I'll receive you. But sinner, you must take that step. You must come to Christ. Will you come to Him? Will you repent, obey the gospel tonight? How long has it been? How long has it been since God first spoke to you? How long has it been since you first heard this glorious message that Jesus saves and His blood washes from white as snow? How long has it been, sinner? Long are you going to put it off? Risk losing the soul that God gave you and doing what the Holy Ghost warns you not to do. Don't fall into the hands of the living God. Don't do it. I tell you, friend, you fall into those hands, you'll remember this sermon forever. And you'll curse the day you ever walked out that door. But listen, sinner, it doesn't have to be that way. Come to the Savior. He will save, He will pardon, He will forgive. You let go of that which keeps you from Him, that sin, and He'll hold you. And He will never let you go. Never. He'll hold you tonight and He'll hold you forever. He'll be a father to you. He'll be a father to you. Come to Christ. Come to Him now. Let us bow our heads before our God. And every head bowed. The Lord's people praying. Sinner friend, it's time you were saved. I remember the night I received a Heavenly Father. I was thinking about it today, 28th of September 1998. God became my Father. He's looked after me ever since. Sinner, come to Him tonight. Repent, believe the gospel. Be saved tonight. If Mr. Greer or myself can help you, be our joy to do that. But why not just where you're at, lift your heart heavenward. You can sort it out right where you sit. God will receive you. God will pardon you. The blood of Christ will wash you. The Holy Ghost will come into your heart immediately. You leave this meeting on your way to heaven. Sinner, come to Him. Speak to us at the door. If we can help you, it would be an honor and a privilege. But come to Christ. Father, take what's been of Thee, bless it to every heart. Grant deciding grace. In these closing moments, bind the devil. Bring the lost one home. Save, O God, we cry, and answer prayer
In Jesus' name, amen.